Amen. What a day. Father, we rejoice and we give you praise. What a day this is. Jesus is risen, Lord. We remember on this day, Father, that Jesus rose from the dead. The grave could not hold him down. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Father, we come before you and we thank you that the greatest thing that has come to our hearts, Lord, is the very thing you want us to take to other people's hearts. So, Lord, by your Spirit, in your strength, Father, from wisdom from God, may we today be empowered, may we be skilled, may it be infused into our very being, may our bones, Father, be infused with this truth, with this anointing, with this life, with this passion, with this reality, and that is Jesus rose from the dead. And Father, we thank you that people took the time, they took the risk, they took the prayer, and they brought the message of the gospel to us. And Lord, it is your heart's desire, we do the same. So today we pray, Holy Spirit, give us truth, give us understanding, open our hearts and plant the truth of your word, and Lord, the truth of your heart. Let the way your heart holds this world be in us, Father. Let our heart be conformed to be like your heart, Lord. Let us look out at the world and see it as you see it. And Lord, let us be moved with compassion. Let us be moved with fervor. Let us be moved with zeal. Let us be moved because the time is short. Let us be moved because you have apprehended us for a reason. Holy Spirit, in our own strength, we will fail terribly. But you do not tell us to do it in our own strength. You say you will empower us. Father, empower us this day in the name of Jesus Christ. May every word we hear today go deeply into our heart, Holy Spirit. Take this time, bless it to us, that we may be a blessing to others, and especially a blessing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's begin. We are, it's 10 past 10. We're going to go through this quite quickly, but please take this away and meditate on this. Take this away and think about it. There's going to be a series of these coming out, and this is something we know that the Lord has been putting on Pastor John's heart, certainly on all our hearts. Okay, so this is lesson one, sharing your testimony. We're going to talk about evangelism. Sometimes evangelism is a word people hear, and they get a bit concerned. They get a bit afraid even. They get a bit, oh, I don't want to do that, or different things come up. So I want to look at a few things. First off, I want to make the point that not everyone is an evangelist. Not everyone is an evangelist. And in Ephesians 4:11, we know the scripture where he called some to be apostles, prophets, and so on. And in 1 Corinthians 12:28, where he talks about the similar things, and he says, is everyone an apostle? Is everyone a prophet? Is everyone a teacher? But we are all called to do the work of an evangelist. You might remember in the book of Acts, there's Philip the evangelist. He's referred to as Philip the evangelist. What was Timothy referred to as? Was it Timothy the evangelist? No, what did he do? He did pastoral care duties. He oversaw the flock, which Paul had established and left him in charge of. But what was his task? Well, Paul said it right here in 2 Timothy 4:5. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. And you may remember another story in the book of Acts where there was a prophet. Do you remember the story where this man, they went to his house, he was a prophet, and the Bible says he had four daughters who prophesied. Now, it's very interesting because this man was a prophet and he had four daughters who prophesied. Were they prophets? But they prophesied. See, when God pours out his Spirit on all flesh, what do? We prophesy. Are we all prophets? Well, some here, prophets, but are we all prophets? No, but we all prophesy. Are we all teachers? No, but do we teach? Yes, we all teach. So it's very important to see that throughout time, throughout history, often what we see are evangelists. And they might have a big crowd, and they might have a particular way of evangelizing. Some people tell stories, they're in shopping centers, and they turn around to the line behind them, and they say, bow your head in Jesus' name. You need to repent, you know, and they do this big thing, and you hear these stories, and you think, oh, I don't know if I could do that. You know, you might hear Jesse Duplantis, and he tells this story where he's passionate and he's bold, and you think, oh, could I do that, Lord? Well, people evangelize in different ways. And an evangelist who is a fivefold gifted evangelist will be someone probably out there like that. And his job will often be to be in a scenario like that and powerfully and boldly proclaim the gospel. But his other side is to do another thing. And for people here who have that evangelism call on them, the other function of the evangelist is to stir up evangelism in other people. It's to encourage people to evangelize. It's to skill them. Everyone's not an evangelist, but we are all called to evangelize. We're going to look over the few weeks at the different methods we evangelize. There are some people, and the most natural thing for them to do is turn around in the line of a shopping center and say, Do you believe in Jesus? You need to bow your head right now and repent and be saved from this sinful generation. But for other people, they'll have them around for a meal. And they'll sit down and they'll befriend them. And there's all these different valid styles of evangelizing. So we're going to look at all these different ones. The one we're looking at today is a universal evangelizing method. Every single human being, every single Christian, this method works for. This is the method that God calls us all to. Whether you are going to be confrontational, whether God's going to use you in powerful signs and wonders, whether you're going to have people around for a meal, all these types of things. Each of us have a specific way we work. But this thing we're looking at today, all of us work this way. We all have a testimony. 1 Peter 3:15, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. There's so much you could spend time on in that one verse alone about how we are to go out into the world. But certainly it says, as Peter's writing this to the church, as a different writer, Paul, is writing to the church, there is an encouragement and an exhortation to the people of God that we are to be ready to tell people about why we do what we do. Why do you go to church on Sunday? Why do you believe in Jesus? How can you believe in Jesus when we know science tells us so much? All these sorts of things are very good things for us to look at. And of course, we know the Great Commission, that we're to go into all the world, we're to make disciples. Okay, and so how do we do that? Well, we don't do that sitting on our couch with our mouth closed. We go out into the world, we make disciples. So we know that this idea of evangelizing, this commandment, is something for us all. So the most common way we all evangelize is by telling people our testimony. And if you remember this story from John chapter 9, from this man, and you know it so well, and it's such a powerful testimony. It's not so much that it's deep and it is quoting Old Testament and New Testament, or he's doing all these things and this prophet, this and that. What did he do? What did he say? You know, he stood there and he said, one thing I know, though I was blind, now I see. What a powerful testimony. What a powerful testimony. And every single one of us, we have a testimony just like that. Every single person could come up here right now, take the microphone and say, this was my life. And you know what? People come with all these clever arguments and people say, yes, but how do you explain the anthropomorphic realization of God and through Joel and this and that? And what about the existential dilemma of this and all this stuff? And, you know, people talk like that and you think, what? What are you talking about? Listen, let me just cut it. I was blind. Now I see. Powerful, powerful testimony. You know, the other way the world wants to do it. Look at my intellect. Look at how smart I am. Look at how clever I am. God doesn't do that. And we'll look at some scriptures that, thank God, that's not what we have to do. That's not what we have to be to evangelize. We simply have to say, look, I was blind, now I see. And people go, and their mouths are stopped. Praise God. So, what qualification or spiritual gifts do you need to share your testimony? Personal testimonies don't require a theological degree. That man who was blind, did he say, I'm just going to go to Bible college for 3 years? Just wait here, brother, and I'll come back and I'll share all about faith with you. I'm going to go and do a course on evangelism, and they're going to tell me how to answer someone who's hostile to the gospel, and they're going to tell me someone who, they're an academic, and how to respond to them academically, and they're going to tell someone who's been hurt by Christians, and this is how you respond. He didn't do that. He didn't do that. He didn't need that. None of us need that. Very, very simply. All that's required is that we encounter God and we tell people about it. You don't have to have wealth. You don't have to have status. You don't have to wait till you're in a position in a church. No, none of that is how the Bible works. And look at this, 1 Corinthians 1:27. Look at how much encouragement we can all get from this verse. But God has chosen the what things? Foolish things. There are people, and I know there are people in here who are very clever, but do you know there are people who are cleverer? And at times, especially if you are into study and academics and different things, like I love reading all this stuff as well, and you meet with someone, eventually you meet with someone who can out-talk you. You can meet with someone who can out-reason you, or who has such a, you know, a slippery way of speaking where they kind of wrap all these arguments around. God hasn't called us to evangelize that way. And I learned this. And I tell you, and I've shared this before, one time I went out to dinner, Elgin and myself, we went and visited some people. And the two people we were having dinner with, these two sisters, they are both quite academic. One of them, very argumentative, very academic, very anti-Christian. And I'm sitting down with her, and I'm having this big debate with her, and we're talking about philosophical things and all this type of stuff. And I'm using all of these man-made arguments, really. I mean, I'm using the Bible, but I'm actually saying, yes, but every religion is like this. And I'm using all these types of, you know, I guess I could say I wasn't using the Word of God. And I'm sitting there, and we're talking for about 10 minutes. Not that I was speaking against the Word of God, but I was just, you know, they're bringing up all, anyway, all these arguments. And I hear Elgin talk to the other sister, and she said, well, Jesus said, and she began to quote the Word. And, you know, I could sense the presence of God come into the room when she started quoting the Word of God. And I just thought to myself, Justin, why do you fall back on your brain? Speak the Word of God. These people come with clever arguments. You think, oh, I can match wits with them. I can, you know, you can get your... Justin, stupid. You know, and God hasn't set it up that way. Or else, the qualification to be God's kid would be, you must have an IQ above, what, 150, 1, whatever it is. No, that is not our God. The Bible is for everyone. For the king, for the pauper, for the academic, for the person who never went through and did all those things. So, thank God, when we look at 1 Corinthians 1:27, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. So the wise person can know every single thing about medicine and look at this man, and the man says, I was blind, now I see. And what do they say? So that's it. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty. You and I do not have to be wise. We do not have to be mighty. We go in, and it is the Lord God working through us. Making our testimonies known. Psalm 119:46. See, this is not a new thing. This is in the Old Testament. I will speak of your testimonies before kings, and I will not be ashamed. It's one thing to stand before people that you might, in our society, have a greater position than, people who you are over, you know, people who you are smarter than, or people who you're the boss of. It's one thing to stand before people where you are in a superior style of relationship and tell them all these things. It's another thing to stand before people who are superior. And sometimes that's where intimidation can come in. That's sometimes where we can feel differently coming before these people. And of course, in the Bible, when it presents the man-made structure, the king is at the peak. And the Word of God says, I will speak of your testimonies before kings. I will not be ashamed. We have nothing to be ashamed of, and we don't want to because of the warning of Jesus, Mark 8:38. Jesus said, whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him, the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Please, we could meditate on that verse every day, every week, and just remember that. Things we're ashamed of, we hide. If our room's messy and we have people come around, do we leave the door open, come look at my room? No. And, you know, what do? We close the door. If people are ashamed of God's word, do you know what they do? They hide it. They don't make it known. If people are ashamed of being a Christian, what do? They hide it. They don't make it known. If people are ashamed of the truth of the Word of God, they'll be in a situation. We were talking the other day about someone had was having a movie night. Come around and watch this movie. He said, the movie's still playing at the cinema. This is an illegal copy. I'm not going to come and watch it. It's stealing. It's wrong. So other people went. It was a group of Christians who got together, not from here. You know, so if we're ashamed of God's Word, then actually we'll go and we'll partake and we won't stand and we won't announce. So we are not to be ashamed. And we're not to be ashamed because when Jesus comes back, he's not going to... I don't want Jesus to hide me. I don't want Jesus to be ashamed of me. I want him to say, Justin spoke the word. Justin endured persecution. Justin loved in the midst of these things. And I want it, and for all of us, that is what we want to be said. So it's very important, Mark 8:38. Okay, the next point. The Holy Spirit works through us and in the hearts of people we speak to. In Matthew 10, verses 18 to 20, it says, you will be brought before governors and kings for my sake, and as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of the Father who speaks in you. Thank God that when we do come to these situations where we meet people, we were at a situation last night, and Elgin was sharing the Word of God, and we were talking afterwards about it, and she was... And Elgin said to me, she said, but, you know, I'm praying while I'm talking and I'm trusting God that he's going to bring out of me what needs to come out. And that's what we need to do. We don't go in there with step one, step two, step three, unless God tells you to. But the idea is God tells you. So God will lead you and guide you. You'll be in the scenario and God will say, speak about this. And that's a very powerful thing. Okay, our next one, John 6:44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I want to say this really clearly. You can't save people. I can't save people. God saves people. Now, he'll use you and me. But, you know, if you're in a situation and you suddenly feel this weight of pressure, this is all about me working to save this person, you've missed out how it works. God doesn't work that way. The Holy Spirit works upon people's lives. Now, he'll ask you to open your mouth and fill it with words, and there'll be times you'll be afraid, times where you'll say, oh, should I say that? I don't want to offend someone. But you've just got to follow with what the Holy Spirit's saying, and you've got to make that known. God draws people in. I had a class where God had me read, I think it was Acts chapter 4, and he said, read this. And I read it, and he said, read it again. And I read it again. He said, read it again. And I read it, and I read it, I don't know how many times, you know, maybe 8 times, maybe 12 times. And then the siren went, and I had to go to class. And I was like, Lord, what am I missing? I was starting to get a bit frustrated. Lord, why can't I see? What are you trying to show me? And he just said, read it again, read it again, read it again. I went to this class, and we're chatting about things, and one person put their hand up, and they said, Mr. Hearn, why does God something, something, something? And do you know what the answer was? It was from Acts chapter 4. And so I just spoke word for word, and 13 people got saved in that class. Now, when that happened, I realized this thing. That was about 8 years ago. I realized this amazing thing. God is not just using me to make known the word of God. He is in touch with people who are not saved, and he's prompting them with questions. I was amazed. The very thing he was getting me to study on, to get into my heart, he was prompting them about. Why do you think this is happening? People, yeah, why is this happening? Well, where did that question come from? God is moving in people's hearts. It's wonderful. So we want to get in that dynamic, that relationship, working with the Holy Spirit, and we'll see good things happen. Now, with your testimony, we see it's a powerful, irrefutable thing, and it is backed up by God. Revelation, there's two scriptures here. Revelation 12:11, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death, which is a very powerful testimony in itself. People give their lives for the gospel. But they overcame the blood of the Lamb, of course, but the word of their testimony. And in 1 Corinthians 2:3-5, Paul wrote this, I was with you, not in strength. Read these words so, so carefully. Paul said, I was with you in weakness. I was with you in fear. Sometimes you look at people who speak publicly, you watch them, and they have this incredible ability to be like charismatic and do all this stuff, and you think, oh, wow. Do you know, Paul wasn't that. Paul says, I was with you in weakness, in fear, in much trembling. Look at his speech. My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words. I think we've all attended conferences, we've all heard people speak, and they speak very well, very eloquently, very persuasively. That is not the gospel. Now, God can use a person who's eloquent, but that's not the power. Where's the power? Paul says here, my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words and with human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Because your faith should not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. So we great if God chooses someone who is a great public speaker. But Paul, you know, when Paul, there's another place where Paul went to people and they said, you know, his letters he writes to us are great, big, huge, lofty things. But in presence, he's nothing. You know, when Paul went to visit people, they weren't impressed with him. He didn't stand before them and they were like, look at this majestic man with all these things. No. But the word that comes from him, that is the word of God, is what God watches over. And it's the same for us. So as each of us come before people, it is not how well we can do this. It's how obediently we can do it. Will you say it now? And I've heard people say, God told me to say to this person, you need to repent, you need to get your heart right, you need to be saved. And then they find out later the person died. And they didn't do it because they went, I'll tell them tomorrow. Some say, Lord, I'm tired. Okay, so it's obedience. Obedience to the Lord. This is what God is saying. Over to the right-hand page. Your testimony must point people towards Jesus and the cross. 1 Corinthians 2:2. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. As you look at Paul, he was, you know, rabbi of rabbis, studied under Gamaliel, studied under all these things that would have given him status. And he counted it all loss. And if you look at that verse, that is the verse that precedes what we previously read. I was with you in weakness and in fear. Paul didn't go in to these situations and say, excuse me, it's Paul, I'm here, Mr. Rabbi of Rabbis, you know, I come here under the authority of this or that or the other. No, he came in weakness, fear, trembling. Why? Because he trusted in God, and that's exactly what we must do. And in the midst of that, then, what do we preach? What do we make known? Not our qualifications, not our past, not, do you know, I was at another town and 1,000 people got saved? No. What do we come and we do? We tell them the most important thing, Christ crucified. So, so important. Acts 4:10. And let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is another story. And this man gets healed. It's a testimony. And how do they talk about the testimony? They say, look, this man's now whole and healed, but see how he works into the story? Jesus Christ crucified. In our story we tell, we must work in, and we must have a part in there where we talk about Jesus crucified. Our testimony also appeals to different types of people. 1 Corinthians 9, 20-23. And to the Jews, I became a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law towards God, but under law towards Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become, look at this, all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now I do this for the gospel's sake, that I might be a partaker of it with you. And that's a really important thing, because Paul had this incredible diversity of things to draw from. We have the same. You have the same. You have all these things in your life you can draw from. And I remember the story of this man. He was very successful in business. He'd grown up in a nice home, never gotten in trouble with the law, just had this type of life, became a Christian, was a minister. And God called him to a prison ministry. And he tells the story, and he says, I said, God, what do I have in common with these people? I have lived a totally different life. I have not done drugs. I have not done crime. And he said, and God spoke to me and said, have you been afraid? And he said, yes. He said, these men have been afraid. And you know what? Even if you think you've got nothing to relate to people about, we have this human condition. And people are afraid. People are concerned. People have had these different things. You've had it. How did you get through these things? That's a testimony. People need to hear that testimony. So you can even think you've got nothing associated with people and God can use you. And that's what that man taught about in this book. It's very good. But for us, we actually have things more evidently in common with people. It might be your level of studies. It might be the things you're interested in your job. It might be your personal hobbies. You know, there are things about your life and things about your past, where you've come from, the things you're into, that you can actually build a bridge to identify with someone else. And that's a very important part of sharing your testimony. It's not a crucial key to win someone for the Lord, but if we are looking at this style of sharing our testimony, then it's often what God uses. There is a relatability to what we're saying. So let's look at, what is your testimony? Your testimony starts with your initial condition. Just like the man said, I was blind. So the question for you is, what drew you to Jesus? Cast your mind back. What drew you to Jesus? How did you come to hear about the gospel? You were in a certain place and all of this happened. So what was going on for you then? What was the journey you took to get there? Was this the first time you heard about Jesus? Had sometimes lots of people come? Do you know, sometimes the way you relate to people is simply by saying, do you know, there was probably 5 or 6 people that came over the years and told me about Jesus, and eventually I thought, I need to look at this. Do you know, there are other people in that same position? That's part of your testimony. That's part of, other people will say, maybe that's the same for me. Next part, your testimony has a beautiful result. Each of us would say that. Each of us could, if we cast our mind back and say, this is where I was before the Lord, and then I met the Lord. Now, the amount of times I've spoken to people or we've done this in classes, and people have started to share that, do you know often what's happened to people's faces? What do you think's happened? As they've talked about when they met Jesus, they often smile. It's a beautiful thing. If you remember now, do you remember when you met Jesus? You remember what happened. You remember that all those events that transpired. And can you get back to that, what went on for you? How you saw things, how the world changed, how the world looked, what you felt inside. Often for us, when we do that, we smile. And we just get back in touch. What does the Bible say? What does the Bible call it? Our first love. Because why? It was our first love. It was like nothing else. And you know, we have to guard that. We have to guard against that first love. something else comes along, cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches, you know, the lust, all these type of things, we need to go our first love, and we need to keep that in front of us. So this is another reason why sharing your testimony is so good for your faith, because it stirs you up. And we did this on Thursday at school. We were talking about how God had done these various things. Someone came and spoke, and we're sitting around having morning tea, and as we shared with people, you could see us just rise up. It's why the traditions in the past where people would sit around at nighttime and not watch TV, because, you know, TV and radio didn't exist, they sat around and they'd say, tell us the story again of how God delivered Moses from the Egyptians. Tell us the story again. What about the stories you've got? Dad, tell us the story again about that time you were sick and God healed you. Do you know, every single time we tell these testimonies, we get built up. We end up with smiles on our face. We rejoice. It's powerful, very, very powerful. And we must really embrace this, that God has given this to all of us. Amazing that the Bible says that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. But as we talk more and more about this, can you see the power in it? Can you see that God has made it that way? God could have said we overcome by our fist, but God didn't. God said we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of a testimony. Now, we see in the middle. Did I go through that? Your testimony centers around meeting Jesus and responding to him. Sorry, that was a very crucial part, because you heard about Jesus and you did something. You didn't just go, oh, yes, okay, because the devil believes, right? He knows there's a God. But what did you do? You did something different, and that's part of your story. What did you do? You prayed. You went to church. You picked up a Bible and read it. Whatever it was, that's a very powerful part of your testimony. And it centers around Jesus and the cross. That centers around that knowledge and that event, that experience that you had. And this is often a point whenever I'm sharing a testimony that I will talk more about the cross. And I find the more I talk about the cross, the more impact it has with people. A girl said in class during the week when I was sharing it, she actually said, Mr. Hearn, but don't you think that sharing about Jesus and the crucifixion is just a way of touching people emotionally? And I said, it definitely touches us emotionally. And I told her a story. I said, there was a pastor I know, and he told a story about his grandfather who was alive in World War II. And he was on a boat that was sinking. This was in the midst of war. And to stop the boat from sinking, they needed people to go and seal certain doors. I don't understand how it all works, but they need people to go and seal certain doors where the water was leaking in. But they could only be sealed from this inside. And he said his grandfather volunteered to go and do it, knowing he was going to death. And, you know, as I shared that story with the class, and even now just thinking about it, something inside me moves, that someone gave their life. And as I shared that, this person who was being a bit hostile, you could see it impacting them. And I said, can you see there is something about us and the way we're made that when someone sacrifices themselves, it impacts us? I said, why is that? And I said, I believe it's because God set us up that way. God wants us to understand the value of life and when someone does this. I said, so yes, it moves us emotionally. God has made us that way. But not only emotionally does it move us. So it's very important to talk about that. And that's in Luke 24. Jesus on the road to Emmaus said to the man, didn't you know it was necessary for the Christ to suffer? Jesus didn't get a lethal injection. Jesus didn't die in his sleep. He suffered terribly. And it was, you know, and if you watch the Discovery Channel or any of these types of documentaries, it's one of the most, I can't remember if it's the top 5 or top 10 torture devices throughout time is the cross. You know, there's the Iron Maiden, there's the rack, the cross. Because as we've talked about before, with the whipping, the beating, carrying the cross, but to be hanging on the cross, every breath you take involves pushing down on the nails, pushing off on your feet, and drawing in a breath. People die on the cross from suffocation. And that's why at the end of the day, they come around with the bats to break the knees. Because why break the knees? Because they break the knees, they can't push up. So you imagine, you know, 70 or 80 kilos, an adult male, pushing down on that. Every breath is excruciating pain, not to mention his back is leaning against. Jesus suffered terribly for us. And I tell people about it as often as I can, and that's a very important thing to put into our testimony. Talked about the beautiful result. And lastly and very importantly, ask them the question. But when you are telling people this, sometimes, just like in the Bible, people will actually ask you first. They might say, what do I do to get saved? So you need to know how you're going to handle that. So I would say pray with them. read them the Word of God. Read them Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. I ask people, I say, do you believe Jesus is the Son of God who died for your sins? So they'll speak it out. I read them Matthew 10:32. Whoever confesses me before men, him I will confess before the Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will deny before my Father who is in heaven. And there was a class during the week on Wednesday. And probably about half to three-fifths of the class stood up. And that's something I often get them to do as well. I say, if you believe Jesus died for your sins, stand up. And, you know, some people stand up quicker than others. Others kind of slowly rise up. And make your public declaration. Do you believe Jesus died for your sin? Are you ashamed? Don't be ashamed. Jesus, look at what he went through. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. And I think it's very important to have that and put that into people's heart. Also, along with another part down here, tell them about persecution. So don't tell people, look, get saved and God's going to make you rich and you're going to sit back in a pool and it's going to be a comfy life. The devil will come and knock that person out of the kingdom in 2 seconds. And that is a message I've heard preached and I've seen people suffer from it. So I tell people, now what's going to happen? The devil's going to come after you. But greater is he who is in you. And I'll tell them whatever I feel to tell them at that time. But I tell them persecution is normal, but this life is short. Heaven will be for hundreds, thousands, and millions of years. I love saying that. I love thinking about that. I say, so stand strong. What do you got left? 80 years, 100 years, 60 years? Stand strong, because you've got millions of years to come. Don't give it up. Also then, invite them to church. Give them a Bible. Keep in touch with them. And so, so, so importantly, pray for them. Pray for people. If they don't ask you a question, this is what I often ask them. I say, do you want to get saved? And I ask them, are you right with God? And I say to them, if you died tonight, do you know what would happen to you? And, you know, that's fairly straight questions. People say yes, people say no, people say I'm not sure, people say I'm not ready. That's up to them. My job is to get it out as God leads and as the situations come up. Now, just go on to the middle part, just as we're finishing up. You can tell I'm going through this, trying to go through this quickly. Because I want last two things just to be so strong in us. All these things we talk about and all these examples we give of speaking are not things we can do in our own strength. We really can't. Maybe there are a handful of people in the world who are so charismatic and very good in crowds they could do it. But that's not how God wants it done. God wants it done this way, as Paul gave us the example in Ephesians 6:19. Paul said, and pray for me that utterance may be given to me. We are to pray for one another. Pray for me that I'm in a class and I will open my mouth and speak. And I'll pray for you and we'll pray for one another. Paul said this. Now we think of Paul and yet he's asking people, pray for me. Pray for me that utterance may be given to me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Make known boldly the mystery of the gospel. The mystery of the gospel is that Christ came. He died. He rose from the dead. He took upon him all sin and judgment of the world. And by believing in him, you have heaven. You have a relationship with God. It's amazing. So, the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, and look at this in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. That's what Paul's praying for. That's what we pray for. We need to pray for that. In fact, you pray this for yourself. Lord, I pray that you'll give me boldness. And I remember starting to pray that way, 13 or 14 years ago, and it changed the way I shared my faith. It really did. Changed the way, and God just gave me encouragement, like literally encouragement, put courage in me, and I would speak the word of God. Not me, not my strength, but the Holy Spirit. So it's very important we do this, pray for one another. And look, lastly, remember it's God who's doing all this work. Mark 16:20, they went out and they preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word through the accompanying signs. And it's so important to know. We go out there and we share the word, and then the Lord will back it up. Sit home on the couch, what's the Lord going to back up? So we go out and share it. Lord, give me boldness. You go and share it. You trust it to God. God will work through us. We're not going to have time to do this, but we wanted to do this role play activity. Now, I really recommend doing this. This is something that's just good to do. We're not going to do it now, but you can maybe do it at home. Share your faith. Like, how would you share your faith with someone? What is your testimony? When I taught this in Bible college, I said to people, that was one of the assignments, write out your testimony. And then as you write out your testimony, think about who does this appeal to? What do I have in my life that I can appeal to someone? Like in my life, I can say I used to live on the streets. So if I meet someone who's a homeless person, there's a part there I can relate to. What do you have in your background? Where did you come from? What are the things you've gone through? Who can you relate to? Maybe you're at university, you're doing really well, and you're doing all these things in the midst of all that and all your pursuit of these types of things, God revealed himself. And you said, I didn't think this because, you know, I was the highest mark in this and I was that, and I didn't think God was real. Everyone's got a testimony. Josh McDowell has a testimony. He was a lawyer, and he wanted to disprove Christianity. So he investigated it like a court case. He got saved, and he wrote a book about it. And he said, if this was Christianity was a court case, it would win. He said there are over 800 prophecies alone about Jesus coming. Amazing story. So we've all got a background that God will use. We need to work at that, what that is, because our testimony is so powerful. Okay, we've raced through that because of our time. Were there any questions or any comments anyone wanted to add? Yes.
For me is this, how come we are not doing it? What are the factors that militate against our doing it, readily talking about it? Because nobody can dispute the story of your life. They may choose to believe something else, but nobody can actually dispute the story of our life, like you said. So, I mean, how come we don't, you know? And I think it's a question that all of us should be answering.
What do you think? What if I did this way, in a non-threatening way? How many people would put their hand up and say, I regularly share my testimony? Okay, so it's a smaller percentage. So different things go on that do hinder us. So why are we held back? Why are we held back? It's a personal thing that we all experience. I think there are key things we need to do. Pray for boldness. I do believe it requires boldness from the Holy Spirit, not from working ourselves up. I'm better than this person or any type of man-made thing that would give us motivation. The Holy Spirit, I really believe prayer is such an important part. Any other ideas? Do you have any other ideas? Any other thoughts why we don't?
Grows us.
Yes.
You know, because after sharing testimony with somebody and saying, Jesus, this is what Jesus has done in my life, this is where I used to be and this is where I am now.
Yeah.
It will be very difficult for you to come back the following day and engage in a behavior that disproves what you said you have already overcome.
Yep. So if we're living a contrary lifestyle,
exactly.
So it brings us in the spotlight. Yep.
It actually grows us. It helps us to, so that we will, half of the time we spend praying will not be necessary actually. We can use it to actually do the work because that in itself, it says with God working with them, with signs for them, He will automatically signs for them.
Yep.
And we spend less time, just wishing.
I don't know if and I'm not saying raise your hand, but I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you've thought, I don't want to share my faith with them because it's going to, there's a part of my life that's not right and it's going to bring it into focus. But I think that can be a hindrance. And if that is the case, that's something to be repented of very quickly and made right. It's a good point. Testimony is something to get comfortable with. How many people here would like to pray for an opportunity to share your testimony with someone? How many people would want to pray? Yeah. So, yeah, look, I mean, look, it's something we can pray. I remember evangelizing for about the first 7 years when I was saved and was so discouraged because a friend of ours, Michael, would meet us. You know, we'd catch up with him regularly and watch movies and eat ice cream. We'd have these treats. You know, we'd do all this sort of stuff. And he'd say, yeah, I was walking home today and I met a person at the bus stop and led them to the Lord. And I'd go, oh, how did he do that? That never happens to me. You know, and that would happen. You know, remember all the stories we'd hear? And he'd go. And he'd be, I remember one time he said he was witnessing and at Myers to this person, and the shop assistant person came and started like kind of telling him off and giving him something, and God gave him a word of knowledge about that lady's personal life, and he turned to her and he said God just said say this, and he said this stuff to her, and she just shut her mouth and walked away, you know. And I'd hear these stories and I'd go, I've never prayed with anyone to lead them to the Lord. I've never done it. First 7 years of my life as a Christian, never did that. And I thank God that when I look back at my life, it really, I came to understand this. There are certain things that we need to do. It's not about reason and intellect, and they were things that I would generally rely on in the past. It is about preaching Christ crucified. It is about telling people how Christ crucified changed my life. It is about looking for something. Do you know, next time you're in a conversation with someone, listen to them and just ask God, say, God, is there something I can hear in this conversation that I can use to bring them round to the gospel? And at school, they don't tell me off, but they, you know, I'd come and I'd tell them these kids got saved. And they'd say, oh, was it Christian Ed? And I'd say, no, it was my computing class. And they'd say, how do people get saved in your computing class? And I said, well, we were talking about MP3s and how it's illegal to download it from the net. And it just got on to saying, look, we have to live right in this life, because there's consequences, but not just in this life, in the life to come. And it just led from one thing to another, and an altar call was done and they got saved. But see, that we're talking about MP3s on the internet. It was a bridge to the gospel. See if you can find a bridge to the gospel. And I can tell you, there are kids now serving the Lord. There are kids who are working in churches who came out of those classes. They're making a difference in the world. There was a lovely old lady who went by the bedside of a man who was dying. And she cried and she said, you must turn to Jesus. You must get saved. And he said, get away, old woman. Gave her a hard time. She came back every day for 30 days. This lady, she's not in books. You don't know her name. But the man she preached the gospel to is Yongyi Cho. And he got saved. And this is the man who had a church. How big is it now? Okay. So it's over 1 million people in his church in South Korea. This man is Buddhist. He's on his deathbed. And this old lady, what's her name? Look at the consequence. What is the consequence of you sharing your faith with one person? And what do you do when they knock you back? She went back every day for 30 days, crying. Do you think people are going to heaven now because of that lady? For eternity, there's a difference being made. That's what we're called to. And she is not great and mighty, is she? She didn't come with, here's my diploma. This is what God uses, the weak to the wise. Foolish to the wise, the weak to the strong. That's who we are. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Father, I'm to pray as Paul prayed. Lord, we pray that utterance will be given to us, that we will open our mouths boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel for which we are ambassadors, Father. Lord, we are not in chains as Paul was, but Lord, we are ambassadors. Father, we pray that we will speak it boldly as we should in the name of Jesus. Father, as we have raised our hands today, we have said, Lord, let there be situations we come across where there will be a door open for us to share the gospel. Father, we all pray that there will be conversations going on and that you will highlight to us, this is a bridge. This is a bridge to the gospel. Lord, that whether it's about MP3s off the internet, whether it's about watching an illegal movie, whether it's about whatever it might be, Lord, we pray that you will help us to build bridges. And Lord, that we will persist, just like that lady who went and ministered, day after day, that we, Lord, will not grow tired in doing these things, but we will pray day after day that even though we get knocked back like this lady was, we will go back and we will say again, Father, that if we think to ourselves we've spoken to this person in the past, they're not willing to hear, today is a new day. Tomorrow will be another new day. And Father, we declare in the name of Jesus, we will never take on the label and of Bible basher and sit down and let the enemy defeat us, because, Lord, you've told us to go into the world and that we will not be ashamed of the testimony. And Lord, we are not ashamed because we know there is one God and there is one way to get to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. So, Father, we know we have the answer, and we know the devil wants us to be quiet. So we rebuke the devil and his tactics against us. We rebuke his plans and purposes to silence us and to silence the word of God, and to take the name of Jesus and the cross out of our vocabulary and out of our conversations. We pray, Lord, let that rise up with boldness in all of us, that, Lord, lost sons and daughters will be saved. Just as people took that time, that prayer, that sacrifice to come to us, Father, may we do the same. May we not grow complacent. May we not grow lethargic. So, Holy Spirit, just encourage us. Put boldness into us. Let your boldness, let your anointing for that fall upon us right now and stir that up within us. And I pray, Lord, that the cross will be a daily meditation for us, that we will understand that our time is short, Father, that there is great things at hand, and that you've called us to be part of it. And we declare, Lord, we will be part of it, and we will press on. We will not be overtaken. We will not be cast down. We will not be put aside. And Lord, you will not be ashamed of us. We will not be ashamed of you, Lord. And we declare we are not ashamed of you, and we are not ashamed of your word. In Jesus' name, amen.